Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. This podcast is dedicated to helping you create a life that sets your soul on fire. I believe that is truly possible for everybody, but you have to be willing to do a few things. You have to be willing to let go of your past conditioning. You have to be willing to break free from societal norms. And you have to be willing to get really curious about your life and how you can start to look at it differently. Each week, we will hear stories from people who have done exactly this. People who chose to disrupt the life path they were on, go against the grain, and share the lessons and perspective shifts they had to make along the way. Every episode is committed to not only inspiring you and connecting you with other amazing humans, but actually giving you the tools that you need to use this information in your own life so that you continue to evolve and reconnect with your highest self. Are you ready? Let's have some fun. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. Today's episode is extra special as Andrew Geisel, my husband, is joining us on the podcast for the first time. And a little bit about Andrew. Andrew is an experienced entrepreneur and EOS implementer. In addition to running a successful data analytics company where his team transforms data into actionable insights to drive better decision making, Andrew is passionate about assisting his peers in getting what they want from their businesses. So he accomplishes this by working with the leadership teams to implement EOS. If you've never heard of EOS, it stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System. EOS is a straightforward and proven business operating system designed to help entrepreneurial organizations clarify their vision, achieve focus, discipline, and establish the accountability necessary to realize that vision. In today's episode, Andrew and I talk about some of the defining moments that ended up being the catalyst for us beginning to question the life that we had built and start to choose different and to start to look at our life different and decide, is this really how we want to live? Which includes our first experience in Guatemala and our experiences through COVID. This episode is just the beginning of probably a series of episodes where you can get an inside look into what has really helped us make the decisions, the lessons that we've learned along the way, and how we got where we are today. So enjoy this episode and let's get into it. Here we are, 88 episodes into the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast, and I have finally been able to secure a guest that I have been chasing for years, you guys. Andrew Geisel, here he is. You heard it. My very own husband is here to chat with us today, and I could not be more excited to have you.
This is the 88th podcast.
88th episode.
So I've only heard it 87 times before.
Exactly yeah, right. Yeah. And for so many people that are listening, you have followed along with the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast for a while. You probably know a lot of our story from my perspective. But today, I'm really excited for you guys to hear parts of our story as well as pieces of Andrew's story, because his story is so unique that you've never heard before. So that I'm really excited. Just thanks for being here, babe.
Yeah, absolutely. All you had to do was ask. And I would have showed up. So I'm glad you finally asked me.
This is something we're working on, guys.
We're waiting.
Any women out there who struggle to ask for what they want, it's a magnificent, magical ability to just ask for what you want. And it's amazing how many times you'll get it. So before we get into the rest of the episode, I always start with some rapid fire questions, just some fun stuff that.
Okay.
So are you ready for that?
I believe so.
All right. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and where you live now.
Like just location wise?
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, actually a small town just to the west of Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is Mattawan. Lived there till I was about 18 and then moved to the east side of the state and lived there in the Detroit area or Metro Detroit for, gosh, until about 6 months ago. And we are now living in Greenville, South Carolina, and loving it.
Oh, and so fun fact is Andrew and I met when I was 18, he was 20, And I got a job at Best Buy, and he was already working at Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the first day I met him. He taught me how to, we had to do these e-learnings, and they were awful. I mean, you spent like an entire day just doing these like tests on the computer. And Andrew came back and I was doing them, and he's like, you know, you can, how to like cheat on these. And I was instantly like appalled because I was such a rule follower at that time in my life. I was like, who is this guy? And he taught me how to cheat on them. And then I never did. I still did them the right way, but I thought he was so cool.
And just to be clear, it wasn't cheating. It was being more efficient because you still had to know the right answers. You just were able to memorize them rather than not.
Yeah. Efficiency. Yeah. It's all about perspective, guys. Okay. Where is the your favorite place that you've traveled?
I would have to say either a toss up between Edinburgh, Scotland, and Antigua, Guatemala. Yeah.
What did you love about, I didn't get to go to Scotland. Mm-hmm. So, what was it that stuck out to you about Scotland?
Probably just the amount of history that was there. And it just puts things in perspective, especially living in the Western world, and how short our history is here. And just to see the length of time, and just being immersed into that amount of history, and you can physically see it as well. So,
yeah. So cool. He sent me, mm-hmm. I remember seeing pictures of castles, and just, it feels fake almost, yeah. Which is cool. What about Antigua? And just to be clear, Antigua, Guatemala is different than Antigua, the island. Mm-hmm. Everybody always gets that confused when we talk about it. So, but what is it about Antigua?
First, I think it's just a beautiful country. So love Guatemala in itself. Numerous volcanoes. There's 100+ volcanoes, and a fair amount of them are still active. And so from Antigua, it's more modernized town, really good culture, really good food, really good drinks. And you're still right in the middle of kind of the landscape and the people. So, yeah.
So fun. We just actually got back from there, what?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
three weeks ago.
I think it was like two. 7 days ago.
Gosh, it's been a long week then. I have no idea.
We're okay.
I'm not counting days.
Yeah, so. We're not counting days. That's kind of our life, which we'll talk about that. I love that part. What is one thing that's on your bucket list right now?
Like trip-wise? Or just anything. Doesn't really matter.
Anything. Let your creativity run wild.
Yeah, I would. I'm in the middle of one with my brother Brett. We're doing the 4 golf majors in 4 years. So we've done the British Open and the Masters. We got 2 more to go. So completing that will be a bucket list thing. And then also I do a yearly surf trip. So trying to get some unique places in to go surfing as well.
Do you have one on your mind? This is news to me too. So
nothing specific. No, just I think more the excitement to go somewhere new every year and doing it.
So fun. What is something that brings you joy? Just pure unadulterated joy.
It's probably different than most people. Somebody asked me this at a, it was one of those things you have to get up and introduce yourself or whatever it is. But what brings me the most amount of joy, like the highest level of joys I've felt, are usually after really difficult physical challenges. So like doing a difficult physical challenge and that feeling afterwards usually brings me the highest level of joy that I've felt. So, and it's usually because you're doing something difficult with people and friends and with community, and then you achieve that together. And just that feeling of going out and grabbing a beer or just being with that group afterwards, and that feeling.
I think it's cool too, because it's like a joy that never ends. Like it's
never gets old.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Like you just are, like every time you reminisce about it with that group of people, like it's like you will never forget that time that you spent together, the struggle that you went through, accomplishing the thing at the end. And like, just, I think I love that perspective and what you're saying there. Cause, it is, it's just like a continuous thing that you get to keep reliving almost and bringing it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, I love that. All right, last one. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
I don't know. It's weird, but the first thing that comes up is frog hunting. We had a pond in our backyard. I used to love going out and chasing and trying to catch frogs.
Do you frog hunt in the day or at night or both? Like when is optimal definitely frog hunting?
You cannot see frogs at night.
What about their eyes?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I guess you cannot see them was a bold statement that I can't back up. I would do it during the day and just saying frog hunting, I wasn't going to do anything. I'm not going to eat the frogs or anything. We would just capture it and keep them and then let them go.
Okay. So yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. Not hunting in the way that other people might think of hunting. No. We do not harm frogs on this podcast. Oh, I love it. Frog hunting. Andrew took me to do that one time because we were having this conversation and it's hard. I think it was easier when we were little because we were smaller.
Definitely harder than you think it is.
For sure.
Yes.
But it is fun to always see, like they're always all over the place. And so if you are feeling inspired or need something to do with your kids, you're welcome. Take them out frog hunting. All right. Thank you for having some fun with our first questions. Mm-hmm. And as we move on, another fun fact for you guys is Andrew and I are actually going on 15 years of marriage this year.
Almost.
We're almost there.
Almost. September.
He's leaving room for error.
We haven't quite made it yet. 14 and some change, but almost at 15.
15 years. So if anybody's calculating the math, because this is exactly what people start to do, we got married young. Like I was 21, you were 23. 23. And because of that, I feel like our relationship is actually really unique in the fact that we've gotten to grow up together. Like who we were when we got married is so different than who we are today. And it's been fun to see who we've become in that process. And in the same breath, it's been really challenging along the way.
Yeah. 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 I think it's when you look at the age that we got married, even in that first 4 to 5 years, how much growth is done and changing and focuses change. And then you kind of hit a stride in your upper 20s to mid 30s. You kind of feel like you got things figured out. And then you kind of hit another part when you're in your mid to upper 30s where you start questioning everything and kind of seeing those changes and going through those just traditional life, points together has been really fun.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause I think about, like, I call it the quarter life crisis. Right. And I think the quarter life crisis for me happened right around like 28, 29, where I started to like question everything about my life. I'm 35 now. Yep. And double check that 35 now. And at this point in our life, like we just moved to Greenville, South Carolina about 6 months ago. That was a big change for us. We're both entrepreneurs. We've experienced a lot. We've experimented a lot along the way, especially over the last like, 5 or 6 years ago. So I thought it'd be really fun to talk a little bit about that journey. Because all of that I just said, like it one didn't happen overnight. And it's like we had, there's a lot of ups and downs and round and rounds that we've gone through along the way. So when, like, my first, like, one of the first questions I have for you is, when do you think you really started to look at life different? Like, I have a moment that I remember that was kind of the catalyst of starting to see life through a different lens. But do you have a moment like that? Or is there something that kind of sparked?
And when you say, just mean seeing life through a different lens, is when you maybe change your perspective or dots connect that you didn't realize were there.
Like, we were kind of going along, I think, in our life, at least from my perception, we were kind of going along and we were doing all the things, right? Like we had, I went to school, got my nursing degree. You were moving up the ladder in your career. We had bought our first house and then we sold our first house and we got a house on the lake and, we were like just pretty established in and just kind of going through the, like you said, like the milestones or the normal milestones that you kind of, I think you grow up saying like, okay, I got to hit this and then this and then this and then this. And we were doing that. And I think there was a time, because clearly you and I have taken a very different approach to life.
Yeah.
And what changed? What happened?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. One is I believe that the first trip that I took to Guatemala to serve was extremely life-changing for me, just from a perspective of being born and grew up in America and just being influenced by the culture and by the public norms, and then going to Guatemala and being able to serve and just seeing the difference in culture, just seeing that these things are occurring in our world today, just a few hundreds or thousands of miles apart. And the fact that most of our challenges that we have don't really mean shit. And so just really started to change my perspective. And that was in 2019,
I think.
No, the first time.
Mm-hmm. We went 2 years in a row.
2017 to 18, 19, something like that. I don't know. Obviously. But somewhere in that.
I tend to be more of the date keeper.
Yeah. I thought it was 3 weeks, 7 days ago. you combo that with then, whether it was 1 or 3 years, whatever the time was, when COVID hit and really opened a lot of opportunity for people to just question themselves and question their life path and question things that are going on in their life and the people that they surround themselves with and the purpose that you're here and all of those different things. It just kind of naturally gave an opportunity to question some of that. So I would say those two things are probably the two biggest things that I've really been able to mark as like points where I really started to kind of look at things differently.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I think back, and if I had to pinpoint a moment, it was that first trip to Guatemala. And this is where I know Andrew and I have a very, I don't want to say strong opinion. That's probably the wrong word. But it's like, we believe in experiences and putting yourself in situations that you've never been in. And being, because like, that was a trip. It was a mission trip that his dad and mom had. His dad's an oral surgeon and they've been going for what, like 20 years or something? Like a long time. They've been kind of serving on this mission trip and they always invite the kids along and nobody's really taken them up on it except for your youngest sister.
Yeah.
And so Andrew and I were just finally like, we should do this. And what was really interesting is that I grew up without any type of religion or anything like that. And I we're going on this mission trip that's led by this Southern Baptist church. And I was a little bit nervous about going into that situation. Just not knowing, like, you know, it's just that fear of the unknown. And it's usually those moments that you have this like resistance to experiencing something new. And that they have the ability to almost like completely shift your perspective on life if you allow yourself to go and experience it. But I think that like that resistance that we have is this is almost because we know it's going to change us. We know it's going to shift us in some way. And so our ego a lot of times will create fear or like, you don't know what's going to happen. So don't do the thing. And like, I feel like we're the type of people that are like, always do the thing because you never know.
Yeah. Obviously experience is the greatest way to have a better understanding. You can know it. You can understand it. Usually can understand and know the opposite side of it as well. But you were saying that most people hold themselves back because from experiencing things because they're afraid of it may change them.
I don't think consciously that's why. I think that subconsciously we are afraid to go into new environments, go into new situations, experience things that we haven't experienced before because our ego works in the background through fear. And so like we can stop ourselves by being like, oh, well, I mean, we had this conversation. We brought along a friend this last time. His name is Lonnie. He's a pastor in Michigan. And we brought him with us. And he talked about the fact that on his way to the airport, he felt like this massive amount of fear. And like he needed to like tell his son like all of his passwords and all these things. And this is like I don't think it's a conscious thing, but when you allow yourself to experience something new and something that's going to challenge the way that you think and something that is going to force you to be in an environment that maybe is not super comfortable, we hold ourselves back, but we don't even realize we're doing it because our ego is just like, it knows that something's going to change. Like you are going to change on that trip. You don't know that, but your ego already knows it. Your spirit knows it. And your spirit's trying to push you forward, but your ego's like, maybe you shouldn't go.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when we first went to Guatemala and why it changed so much was that we were, I was 30 or so, and you were just a couple years behind that, and we were doing well financially and kind of had hit these milestones that we wanted to hit, and we didn't have any kids, and we just looked at each other and like, we're running this race, but what are we really experiencing in life, and what, like, we're not fully fulfilled with what we've accomplished thus far, and so that bar will just always go to the next level. Like, you're never going to catch the bar if you continue to live this way. So I think a lot of the change for me when the first trip was about changing the bar altogether and say, what if it's not about a bar? What if it's not trying to reach these goals or hit this point or try to get to this idea? What if it's just about the experiences that we collect along the way? And the relationships that we build along the way. And so that was more the shift for me. And I believe that that type of perspective shift only comes through experiences. Like, you're not going to get that perspective shift by hearing me talk about it or anything like that. Like, it only comes because of those experiences that you gather and that you can have. Yeah. And I believe that a lot of people holds them back from having those types of trips or doing those types of things that really are kind of uncomfortable, or gosh, it's 2 weeks long. Like, I can't take that time off of work. What is my boss going to think? Or, ooh, we just went on this trip to Disney with the kids. Like, how am I going to afford to do this other trip for whatever? Or there's not really a built out itinerary or agenda, which means we're going to this foreign country and I just don't know. And so it's just easier to go back to just the day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what holds people back a lot from just doing those types of things in itself.
Is more the, like you're saying, it's more the logistics. Yeah. And that's where
logistics along with what other people are going to think.
And I think that that's really, and like logistics, that's what's so funny is that, and we're actually going to talk about this when we talk about the next part, which is what happened during COVID. Like when you're meant to do something, things fall into place. Like, and we allow our mind to almost run amok and create problems that don't exist. Rather than just like taking the first step and seeing, like, if you want to go on a trip like that, like just reach out and talk to somebody, like talk, you know, shoot us a message and like, hey, how did you get involved? Like just take the first step. I think people start to overanalyze the entire process, which stops them from even taking the first step of like, of leaning into that curiosity of what might that look like.
Yeah. And I think it's also interesting because you can correlate this also. That was also during a time where we lived in an area. We bought this house on the lake, a landlocked lake that's small. It was small with a lot of houses on it in an area that there were some lakes, but it's, you know, it was a prime piece of property or whatever. And you just see the people and the community that was there, and you realize that I could see my life for the next 20 years, 30 years, because you could see who you kind of become and who you hang out with. And I remember a long time ago, we both were at a seminar or something where this came up, where it was like, speaker talked a lot about how you are a culmination of three things. One is the places you go. Second is the books you read. And then third is who you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. And so if we spend these times with these people, I'm naturally just going to become that way. And the way that they looked at the world and even just like cared about things that it made a big fuss about things or used power in ways. It wasn't really sitting well with me. And then we go to Guatemala at the same time that I kind of was already subconsciously thinking through that a little bit. And then it opened me up of like, well, yeah, because this is that feeling of what it is. And so you kind of connect to those things of the people I spend my time with and the places I go start to shape who I become and the way that I think. And so I think those two things combined really pushed through that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I know that when we were in Guatemala, for me, the big thing was the thing that I like could not wrap my head around was like, these people have nothing and they are so full of joy and gratitude. And I was like, I just remember sitting there going, what is wrong with me? And not just what is like, but like it was more, and like that's probably not a good way of saying it, but I think in the moment that's actually how I felt. But it was more looking back, I was like, what are we missing? Because we have all the stuff, we have all the things, we have all of, and yet I don't see this kind of joy and gratitude around me like I do here.
Interesting, because the gratitude is different. It wasn't about being grateful for what we were bringing them, or oh, here's some, you know, gringos that come in and bring money and toys and these things. That like there may be some of that, but it was much more about that they didn't even realize what they didn't have, because they had their health and they had their family and they had all these different things that they found more value in, and wanted more of our attention than they cared about anything else. And they just wanted to spend time with you. Yeah. And so I think it's just that understanding of like, and you're right, like just seeing that and then just being around it, there's just a vibe to it where you leave and you're like, gosh, what is like, we're all walking around like zombies and all you think about is what you don't have. And you talk about the next year goals and I want to get this like that person has, or I want to chase this because it'd be really nice to add that addition to the house. So it'd be really nice to do this. Well, like, it's just like a constant thing when you look at it from their perspective. It's just their thoughts are so different.
And I love the way that you said it's a vibe, because it truly, like, I'm not kidding, it's palpable. Like, yeah, it is like you can't help but feel what they are, like, just different because of the way, like you said, they were so much more interested in. And then here's the thing, Andrew speaks significantly more Spanish than I do. Okay. But one thing I learned on that first trip to Guatemala, and has continued since then, is like laughter is the universal language. Like, yeah, there is no language barrier between laughter. And so we couldn't speak the same language as them. And if we could, it was like very, very minimal. But none of it mattered, because what mattered was the time that we got to spend with them. It was the hugs that we got to embrace them in. It was the teaching them new things, right? Like how to use a drill and how to do that. And then we would color, and it was like this, it was so much more about the quality of the time and learning new things and being together. They like, yes, of course, they're grateful for the house that we built. And I just don't know that that's what leaves the lasting impression on them nor us. You know, like, that's the part that changed, I think, us so much. And I remember being on the plane on the way home, and I think you and I looked at each other and go, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing with our life? What do we want our life to? We want more experiences like this.
Well, and I think it's not even, it wasn't just about the experience that I wanted. It was, I wanted to live that feeling. So it wasn't and I think experiences are really good reminders, mm-hmm, and really good wake up calls. And that's kind of what they're there for. But yeah, I believe it's what you do with that experience, and how do you let that shape you, that can be really powerful. And I think that's more of the conversation we had was, yeah, okay, let's go back every couple of years and let's, sure, add new experiences. Let's do those things, because they'll continue to help introduce us and wake us up and remind us of things. Mm-hmm. But the real challenge is, how do we actually live that every day?
Yeah. And it's so easy to fall right back into the way that everything is. And I think,
well, and that's what most people do, right? You go and you read this book, self-help book, or you listen to Stacy's podcast, or you go on a trip like this and you go, oh, that's really good stuff, I need to do more of this. And then you just go right back into life, and you may take 2% of it.
Yeah.
But literally 0.1% of the people that go and do these things will actually change their life because of it. And that's kind of what the conversations we were having was like, how do you actually change your thought process? Which, fast forward a handful of years, is pretty much like turning the thing upside down and shaking it all out and start from scratch and refilling it back up.
Mm. You know? I, which leads me to...
See what holds on while you're shaking it upside down.
You know? Not much.
And when you flip it back up, what's left?
Luckily, Andrew and I still have each other.
Yeah.
Because we lost a lot in the last, I don't like to say lost, it's probably a bad word, the wrong word.
Fell out of the, I don't know what analogy we can use. What do you turn upside down and shake it out? But it's like, you know, what actually fell out? There's a lot that fell out, and things that you didn't expect to fell out, and things that you didn't expect to hold on, held on.
Yeah.
You know? But it's in this pursuit of, I think, of just living a life of fulfillment and passion and for ourselves, but also for others.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think that one of the things that that kind of came along with that journey was there was things we had to let go of, right? Like, and I think a big one of those things that we had to let go of was, you mentioned this earlier, is how other people are going to see you. The perspective that we had to let go of being looked at a certain way.
Yeah, I think that comes later, like with bigger decisions. I think in the beginning It was in the beginning, it was more excitement. Like, oh, we found this thing. And like, how do we tell people that like live this way and like do these things? I think in the beginning it was a little bit easier. It wasn't that difficult. I think what was difficult was actually keeping this perspective alive. Is what the difficult thing was early. You know, if we say, hey, let's have this conversation like a timeline, like,
yeah,
I think about it that keeping that perspective alive early was the hard thing.
Yeah.
And then realizing as time went on that in order to keep that alive, there were certain things that were constant battles that you had to overcome. And unless you made a difficult decision, it would probably win out eventually, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it just, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was, it's been a long, long answer to what I thought was a simple question, but it just,
what was
it's
the
not,
question?
I don't even remember, honestly.
Well, I think it was two moments or whatever.
Oh, the catalyst. What was the catalyst? And I think that really when Andrew and I are talking, like the, at least, and I would love to hear your perspective, Andrew, because for me, it's like, I feel like in that moment, I decided that I wanted to live life. Like I did not want, like I wanted to experience everything that life had to offer. I wanted to be, have that palpable joy, not from the outcome or the achievement or the result, but like, can I just enjoy life for everything that it is?
Yeah.
And experience as much as I possibly can in this lifetime. Like that's what, I think that's what,
well,
what it was for me.
Yeah. I also think that I was just in my 30s, and I, if you would ask me then of like, I it's kind of weird to say, but even in my young 30s, I'm like, well, I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. So if I like die tomorrow, I'm happy, you know? And I got like, I'm a third into my life and like, okay, now what type of stuff? And so it made me, it makes, I didn't want to feel that way. I didn't want to feel like I'm just content. And and so I wanted to live with a little bit more vibrancy. And I think vibrancy means that the highs are going to be higher and the lows are going to be lower, you know? But
amen.
I think the vibrancy is what I was looking for.
I love that word, vibrancy. And you're right. It is like life is full of high highs, low lows, and everything in between. And that's something that I've had to learn is that the more joy you have, the more pain you might also feel. And it's all so worth it because it keeps it.
Yeah.
And it keeps us alive. I don't know.
There's a point where even if you try to avoid the lows are going to happen. And so you might as well just really fucking enjoy the highs, right? Where it's like, even if you try, it's not your plan. It's God's plan. You know, you just need to answer the phone call when it rings. And if you try to do too much planning and have too much control, the lows are still going to be low.
Yeah.
But if you are too set on your own plans, you'd never really, I think, understand that, what the highs feel like.
Well, and I think it really comes down to how present can you be. Right? Like how present can you be in each one? Like,
and how do you listen? You know, how do you truly keep your eyes open and you see and you listen?
Yeah.
For the opportunity.
And it's funny because we create like rules around this. I was actually talking to somebody yesterday and it was kind of a funny conversation because she said, I said, how do you feel about the unknown or like the unfamiliar or uncertainty? Maybe the word was uncertainty. And she said, well, I know that there's no point in planning my life for the next 5 years because like if we were to look back 5 years from now or like 5 years ago, I would never think that I would be in this place. Like I know that I have no control over that. She said, however, she's like, but like the next 9 weeks, there's a bunch of decisions that have to be made through like her job and this and that. And I just kind of giggled and I said, do you feel like you have more control over the next 9 weeks than you do over the next 5 years? Like, is that a true statement that you have more control over 9 weeks than you do 5 years? And she's like, no, but we play these games that it's like, I want to surrender to life. Kinda.
Well, I mean, there's definitely something to the idea that we do have control in the decisions and the thoughts right now, right? And so you can, I'm not saying plans are bad, right? You have to have plans, and you have to have goals. Like, look, I'm a strategic business coach. That's how you get to where you need to go, right? Like, there has to be the strategic and tactical element to things. What I'm saying is that when you are afraid to make decisions, or you let the plan be a barrier to you seeing and listening and open yourself up to opportunity and then making decisions, I think it's actually a human nature that we avoid decision making. There's a lot of times that we actually don't like to make decisions. There's a lot of thoughts and questions and ideas that go through our brain all the time. And a lot of times we just let them roll in and out and we don't make decisions on them. But if we're really listening to those things, it's giving us an opportunity. And so it's an opportunity to answer a call of some sort. And we're just afraid to make a decision. We're just scared of making decisions. And
why do you think that is?
I think because status quo is more comfortable than the unknown. So it's always safer. It feels safer. I know what this feels like here. I don't know what that feels like making that decision. And if it's a decision I don't have to make, then I'll throw it out there. We'll deal with it later. Right.
Yeah. And I think what people don't realize too is that how much energy is actually wasted and how much time is actually wasted in indecision, because it still sits in the back of your head. Like it's sitting.
Or even if it doesn't, it's just an in and out, and there's an opportunity you missed.
That's a really good point. Like you missed that whisper.
Missed the opportunity. And I think a lot of decisions we make are decisions that we feel like we need to or we have to. And I think that's where even you get stuck in indecision, where like it's something that needs to be done and you just kind of sit on indecision hoping it goes away. And you know,
does it ever go away?
But sometimes sometimes it does.
Sometimes things will resolve themselves. Yeah. That's a really good point. So we haven't made it that far, and that's okay. But I want to talk a little bit, because COVID happened, right? Then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And this is where things really started to get shaken up.
So like, what are we doing with this thing? Do you want to like go through the last 5 years?
Well, we're not going to make it that far.
Well, how long? What's our timeline?
I mean, I guess we don't have to work out until, you know, 6 o'clock, but I mean, we could definitely split this into a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But I do want to get through COVID. And then what I think we can do is pick back up and talk about, you know, I think we can do this in sections. That would be kind of fun to see. But COVID happened, and we went to Guatemala for the second time. We mm-hmm. went with some friend, like some family came that time. More family came. I'll never forget that before we left, they were like, everybody take Tylenol on your way back, because they're like stopping people. If you have a fever of any sort, they're quarantining people in Atlanta. And we're like, what is this? And I just remember thinking this was like just pure craziness. So anyways, we get back, and I remember, like, so COVID happened, and Andrew and I have talked about this. We're like, I think anybody, like COVID, I truly believe that COVID came into our life to give us an opportunity to look at our life and look at if we were living it in like a heart, like from our heart, or it just gave us this opportunity to like dig into our heart and be like, what do I really want in life? What am I doing? And so we've said that so many people's lives completely shifted in COVID. And I personally am a little more concerned about people's lives that didn't shift in COVID. Like all they did was wait for things to go back to normal. And I remember having this feeling of like, I do not ever want things to go back to the way they were. Like, I don't want to wear a mask anymore, but like, but just like, if things just go right back to the way they were, what did we use this time for? Like, what was the point of this? So we decided, we were like, during COVID, we were like, what if, and I don't even remember whose idea this was. It was like, what if we took this RV trip? Mm-hmm. And I personally wanted to sell our house, sell everything, go live in an RV, because you will see that I tend to take things a little bit to the extreme. I start at one end of the spectrum. Andrew will start at the other. And thank God we meet in the middle most of the time, because I'm usually a little extremist when it comes to things. But you, so we had that conversation. Do you remember what happened next? Like, after we had that conversation with Kevin?
Yeah, I think that's when my brother was in town with work and he stayed with us. And he randomly brought up the fact that they're looking at getting an RV and wondering if we wanted to go in and split it with them. I think was the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of how it actually went down, the conversation was Kevin was in town. He was started talking about wanting to get this RV. We wanted to get an RV.
Yeah, I think then the conversation just progressed to like, what if we just did this together?
Yeah, because they wanted to use it during the summer.
Yeah, and we didn't because we were on the lake. So we just wanted to use it in the winter to go travel south.
Yes, and do some like traveling in the RV. And so that was like the first breadcrumb that kind of came where we're like, oh, like maybe we're actually going to do this thing. So then we started looking at RVs with them and doing all of this stuff. And then, like I said, I realized at that point that we couldn't sell our house because we only had an RV part of the time. Right? Yeah. Like, that's not going to work. So what was your idea on what to do while we, because we were going to go on like a 7-8 week
I think it was RV a 2 month trip. And we're going to go down. We left Detroit, Michigan, and we went straight south all the way to Key West. And then we went back up and then kind of went down the border of, you know, Louisiana and into Texas and then up through Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, and kind of back around. But our plan was, and doing that, I think we looked at somewhat of a budget or whatnot, but somebody brought up to me that they had a friend that did this and they Airbnb'd their house while they did this trip. So we looked into doing that.
Yeah. And I want to get clear on the timeline here. So COVID, March 2020, right, is when like the world shut down. We had this conversation probably June.
I think there's quite a bit there. So when I was already, so I was working for a software company leading sales, and I was already in a transition state into working somewhere else. And that occurred in like May of 2020. So the transition occurred like 2 months after COVID hit. And that transition was odd because it was literally during the heat of COVID that I transitioned into this role. And so in doing that, a big part of the transition though was a little bit more of a grand plan and like this idea of this life that we wanted to live. And it was a little bit of a chess play.
Yeah.
In doing that in order to open a few new other opportunities and new things as well.
Well, because I think we had this conversation in probably January, February of it was probably like after our second trip to Guatemala, we had this conversation. And I actually remember then when I was in LA for a mastermind, this was the, like, I actually got stuck in LA because the world shut down while I was there. But before that happened, Andrew was...
Yeah, because I was going to fly to San Diego.
Yeah, and you couldn't.
The day before I was going to fly to San Diego to talk at a conference, I like literally was going to leave that next morning. And that night was when I remember it would have been March. So the NCAA tournament got shut down, or NBA got shut down. Some basketball thing got shut down. And everybody was like, wait, what? Like, this is actually kind of serious. And that day, I think it was like the 14th or 17th of March, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, everything shut down. I was supposed to fly out the next day, and we just can't. The whole conference got canceled within like 2 hours. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
So you were stuck in LA because you were supposed to drive down to San Diego and meet me.
Yes.
And so I remember you sitting on the phone for like 9 hours trying to get a flight out of LA.
I don't know if I've ever been so frustrated. You guys, I went to the grocery store and everybody's getting like their massive amounts of toilet paper and like all of these like essentials. And I went and got a bottle of wine, some Greek yogurt and like chocolate or something. And I was like, this is my essentials at this point in my life. I don't care about anything else, but I'm trying to, because I remember while I was there, you interviewed for your new job.
Yeah.
And I actually remember you were like, I think I'm going to take it. And I was so
upset,
disappointed, and I couldn't show that to you, but I was like, this screws up everything because we're not gonna like you had started to potentially look for a new job because we wanted to get you a job that was remote so that we could go and do this whole RV thing. And I was like, you told me about the job, and I really, you guys, I was like, I did not believe in COVID for the like, I was in my little optimistic bubble, and I like refused to believe that this was going to get as crazy as it did. So for me, him telling me that he was accepting this job was him telling me we can't do what we wanted to do because it was an in-person job.
Well, I think this is part of the thing of when we were in Guatemala, and then directly after that you were in LA, and then I was in, like, we had this idea of what we wanted, and I don't think you and I were fully on the same page on, I think we're on the same page where we wanted to get to. I don't think you understood the chess pieces that were being played to get to that point.
No.
During that time play. And I think the other piece of it was, it wasn't just the shift to like do this RV trip. Cause it was like a 2 month trip, like whatever, I could do that because it's COVID.
Yeah.
It was more around, it's a play to open opportunities up, to do different things. If we want to go to Guatemala for a month and serve, if you want to go on a trip for 2 months, if you want to go out of country for a week or two, like you can continue to work and do those things. So it was like this chess play in that.
Yeah. I tend to be, especially at that time in my life, sorry, but I was very, as much as I didn't know what surrender to life meant. Like I had a plan and that was the only plan. Right. And so anything that didn't go that way was really, really difficult for me to see that there is a chess match here, and it was like very all or nothing for me.
Correct.
But so then this is why we trust, right? So then COVID happens. Andrew's new position turns into a remote job.
Yeah. And even going through that process, it was kind of a remote
thing.
So, yeah.
Like you never went into the office, did you? After that first interview? You were never there. And so like it did end up playing out the way that we wanted. So plan is January 2020, let's say January, February. Then we talk to Kevin, we end up getting this RV. They use it for the summer, right? They use it for the summer.
Yep.
I hosted a retreat in Sedona
in October-ish.
Yep. In October.
In 2020.
Yep. So we took the RV out there. never got it home actually, but that's a whole nother story. We'll save for another day. We hit a deer in Joplin, Missouri. That's like a whole nother
stranded for way longer than you'd want to be in Missouri for,
but we met the nicest guy, Tracy. Like again, things like happen for a reason, but we end up, from that point we're like, okay, we're going to Airbnb our house. And so we started that process. And the first thing we did was just clear out as much stuff out of our house as we possibly
Yeah, we just decluttered.
Yeah. Right?
And we made it an Airbnb.
Yeah.
Like we literally only had to lock up like a closet or two.
Yeah, like one or two closets. We threw away all of our extra stuff.
We literally just threw stuff away. It was wild. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we just went through and was like, it was like this. It was like go ahead.
Which in itself was pretty amazing.
Oh, felt so good, didn't it?
Yes.
It's like that feeling. And what they say, what, like a cluttered life is a cluttered mind or something. And goodness gracious, I don't think that could be more true. Like it was such a sense of relief to start to do that. We just started putting like the pieces together and then we ended up, we left for our RV trip on February 8th. I want to say it was February 8th, 2021. I feel like I know the date. We put our house up for Airbnb in what, January? And it just started to fill up like crazy.
I always say it's the easiest thing I've ever done. Like from like, oh, you have this plan and like, okay, I'm going to do this and hopefully something works out. It was the easiest thing that like you threw it up and it was booked for 8 weeks solid. It was wild.
Yeah.
And and everybody was, you know, and I think this is when you start thinking about like other people's perceptions and these things. Everybody's asking like, well, how, like, what if something happens to your house or what if this or what if that or some strangers are going to be in your place and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, it just, and it's so funny because it's like, well, yeah, you go to an Airbnb and it's not a problem, but if somebody comes and stays in your guest room, it's a problem, right? It's just weird. But we also bought different linens and different sheets and different this.
We could do a whole episode on how to run an Airbnb.
Yeah, definitely well versed on how to run a successful Airbnb now. And it completely gave us and gifted us an experience for 2 months without having to worry about, I mean, it was pretty.
It paid for the entire trip plus some probably.
Oh,
like
gosh.
It was, and this is part of what I hope some people who are listening might be hearing is that one, this didn't happen overnight. It started with a dream. It started with a thought. It started with an idea. And it took us a year to get there. And all the pieces fell into place. Like what Andrew just said, it wasn't just the Airbnb that was easy. Like everything happened for us along that path from getting the RV, getting to share it, not have, like, we were spending what, like $350 a month on the RV or something, like, and it was like this 30 foot, I don't even know, but it was like everything from getting to do that to finding this to the opportunity coming to us to Airbnb our house to kind of going through that process to actually Airbnb-ing the house to leaving, like, it, when you just follow the next step and you don't get too far ahead, it is profound how easy something can actually feel. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be challenges. There was 100% like moments where we were, you know, I remember getting a poor review because like the hot tub water wasn't great. And that was like a whole like thing. And it was a challenge, but it was fun to overcome it and just kind of like learn something through it. But life can actually feel like that. And I think...
Well, I think what happens is when you have these risks or you things aren't a sure thing and you're like making life changes for things that aren't a sure thing, when nothing's really wrong in the first place, like it's like, why am I doing these things? And it's almost scary and it's kind of like, well, is this going to be a waste or whatever? Or am I going to regret these things? But then once things turn out and you realize that it's always going to kind of usually turn out and you're like, you're going to be okay, then you get like almost on this momentum of like, ooh, what's a bigger thing I can change now? What's a bigger, like this feels so good. Like, let's just keep going. Mm-hmm. Right. And you like get shaken out of this, like, you know, and you know, then we get into the thing of working for somebody else and then starting, you know, your own businesses. And, you know, that's like where the next place went. Like, just like this feeling of like, I'm in control here. Like, I'm actually going to be in control.
Like, I get to choose.
I mean, yeah, God's in control, but I get to choose. I get to make the choices. I get to do these things.
I can say yes to the opportunities.
I do get to control my time. Mm-hmm. And I get to control, you know, some of those things. And so it just, you almost get this high off of like making these risks and making these big chess plays that you don't really know if it's actually going to work out or not in the way that you think it's going to work out. It's going to work out, but you don't know exactly what that means. But I think that's that vibrancy to life that we talk about, where the highs are much higher and there's still lows, obviously. But
yeah. What do you think, if for everybody listening, because I know that there's going to be some people who are like, yeah, that sounds great. and like you, neither one of us, but this interview is a little bit more about you, is that like we used to really struggle with that unknown, with not knowing how something is going to turn out. And how do you feel like, do you feel like you just have to do it and like realize that it's going to be fine? Or like, how did you start to overcome some of that like anxiety about what are people going to think? What if it doesn't turn out? What if I fall on my face? What if like,
I don't think you ever cure it, right? Like you're always still, and that's there for a reason. It's there to protect us, right? Mm-hmm. That feeling is there to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the safest thing or why in from that perspective, the safest thing is exactly where we're at, because we know all the challenges, we know all the threats, we know all the things, they're known.
Mm-hmm.
So we can understand them and we can plan around them and we can do these things
even if we don't like them.
It doesn't matter though, because I know them. It's understanding that the unknown are usually not scarier than the known.
Yeah, well, and
so it's, you know, your question of like, how do you like work through that? You don't. I think it's just an understanding that it's the same thing that like grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's not, first of all. You water the grass wherever you're at, it's going to be the greenest, right? But at the same thing, the monsters under the bed there aren't any scarier than they are here. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I can't remember what I was going to say.
No, it's just like, yeah, just because I know this monster and his name is Fred and he's got 8 toes, right? Like, it's like, that doesn't matter. The next monster I'll get to know. And then, you know, it's the same thing. It's just the unknown. But I think, you know, if we go back to the story of like, through COVID. So like, when we were in COVID, during COVID happening, we already, because of our trip to Guatemala, and this is now our second one, we've kind of been pushing ourselves to think about life differently and writing life on our own terms and kind of, saying that it's more than just running this one ladder. And, you know, I can see what life has in front of me. That was, I remember saying that. I can see the next 30 years of my life if I just stay here. And it's kind of boring, you know, like, I mean, life's good.
It's fine.
Life's good. I got great friends, family, career, all these things, mm-hmm. right? But at the end of that, when I'm, you know, 70, 80 years old, and I look back on it, did I really, you know, am I going to be disappointed?
Think about how much less stories we'd have to tell.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Alex Hormozi talks about the 80-year-old you, and who is that 80-year-old and what things did they go through to be that person? And I don't want to be the 80-year-old that worked in one career, did this one thing, you know, retired at 65, died at 85, and like there's just no like, I don't know, like there's no story there. And so I think it just goes to that feeling of like, we were already having those conversations in general. Like, what does that mean for us then? If I don't want the next 30 years to be already written, like then what does that mean? How does that show up in our lives? And that's when we're already looking at like, okay, maybe if I, you know, I'm a software sales data, analytics, world. That world in general doesn't have to be an in-person thing. So if we can free up my connection to Detroit, Michigan, you know, 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, it opens up possibilities for us to serve and experience and do all these other things that may help change what that next 30 years looks like. So that was like the first thought. And then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even when it hit, I was like, yeah, we're going to be in the office tomorrow. Or like, I remember we shut down the office and I was like, I was the one that was like, we're not shutting down the office. Like, we'll be back tomorrow, like whatever. Right. And so I was already on that hunt of like, what's the next thing I can do? I had this idea for my own software company, starting my own software, which was like a service-based software. And I didn't quite have the confidence. I also don't think I quite had the experience to do it myself yet. I also enjoyed a paycheck. So, you know, those different things. And so, but that's also partially why I went to my next role, which was an early stage pre-revenue by a very successful entrepreneur that had successful exits in the past. And I wanted to work side by side with him to get my chops up a little more. And so those are some of those chess plays I don't think you saw, at the time.
Well, and I would wonder if we could, I think looking backwards, it's easy to see those things and how they played out. And again, like, it's like, it's, Steve Jobs says you can't connect the dots looking forward. And it's so true. Like, we can't necessarily see what was happening for us while it was happening for us. But something that you said about like the 80-year-old you, I have a client and her son told her one time, mom, like, and she's like 65, she's amazing. And she's like dedicated to this, like changing her life. And she like, just like we're saying, like your life, your terms, like I want to do things different. And he said, mom, you need to do some main character shit. Like, it is time for you to do some main character shit in your life. And I just love that phrase. And it's almost exactly what you're saying. Like when you think of the main character in anything, like any show, any like start doing some main character shit, but that's going to mean that like, it's going to be uncomfortable and it's not going to be, it's that whole thing of people would rather stay in a familiar hell than go to an unfamiliar heaven.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just,
not saying that the next place is heaven either. It's usually going to have, there's a shit sandwich to everything, right?
Yep.
Like, no matter where you're at, that's why the grass is never greener. That's why the monsters under the bed are never scarier. It's just different. And I think that understanding that and recognizing that really is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this cheat code that you have that helps you actually just make decisions, just to understand that it's really not that big of a deal.
Like, you can't, I think I said this to you one day. I was like, what if you thought about life in the way of like, you can't make the wrong decision.
You can't. I mean, I really truly don't think you can. Like, if you make decisions, right, just make another one then.
Yeah.
Right. It's not even that it was wrong. It may have just led you to this decision that was better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can make wrong decisions either. To the point that, I got a friend, Mike Coates, that says this, to the point that there's food on the table, there's a roof over your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're healthy, like your basic human needs are met. Everything else is an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, no one else really knows what's right. You don't know what's right. It's an experiment in life after our basic needs are met. Like, those have to be met. But then everything's an experiment. So I don't think there is a wrong decision.
Yeah, and I think that you saying that is also just really powerful, because it's remembering that what is quote-unquote right for you might be very different than what's right for somebody else, which is why we have to be careful not to just like follow in somebody else's footsteps and or listen to everybody else's opinions. Like, we can take those and they have wisdom to share, but ultimately you have to come back to your own heart and what feels good and what feels right for you. And that might look very different than what feels right for someone else. And that's one of the shifts I think that we have made through this process, is we live our life by feel. Like, it's very different. I think a lot of people live their life very cerebrally, like it's very head driven. And we made a commitment to live from our heart, and that's living from a place of how does it feel? And it's different.
Yeah. And it's different. And I also think that's how God talks to us.
Amen.
So to me, it's actually my duty to live that way, not that it's just a choice, right? Yes, I agree with that. We have to be smart and have goals, and like, you know me, I'm Mr. Strategic and research and all these different things. And I want to know, like, okay, well, in 5 years, what does life look like? And let's talk about that picture. What does it look like? But usually when we do that, we try to use our heart and like, what does it feel like? What's the vibe of it? Who's around it? What is that? Like, you know, and then by doing that, you get to a little bit more of the tactical things. Mm-hmm. Well, in order to support that, here's where what work would look like. Here's where these things would look like. Here's what this would look like, right? Here's where finances would be. Here's the home situation would look like, right?
Yeah.
And then you can even break it down even further to say, okay, well, now I want these things. But if you lead with the heart in the first place and then you back in, I feel like it's a much more, there's more connection there, and you're actually listening to God through that plan, compared to it being my head saying, I would like to have this.
Right.
And so I think that's just an example of how you can still be strategic and tactical while still leading and listening with your heart.
Yeah, it kind of takes both. And I know that, like, in A Course in Miracles, it says that you first have to be willing. No matter whatever you want to do, change, like the life that you want to create, you have to be willing. And then God will show you the how. And so it's like you can be strategic and have all of these things set up, and then you take the first step, and then you also have to learn to be adaptable and be open to the magic and be open to the miracles. Like, we, you know, like, kind of reflecting on so much of our journey, I would have never saw it all playing out the way that it did, but we were open to the miracles that were kind of coming, and we weren't so hell-bent on this, you guys, again, I used to be like, there's one way, there's one path. And I was totally, when you're like that, you are so narrow focused that you can't see the other doors that you could go that God's trying to show you. And so that was something that I had to really, I had to give some love and turn and shift in myself, was you don't know how you're going to get there. And it's probably not going to look the way that you thought it was going to. And the opportunities will come if you are willing.
Right.
Like, they're always coming to you. So that was a lot. And we got through like a year. So I really want to talk up to Andrew. At some point, we're going to talk about the fact, because he is now an entrepreneur. He made that shift. That was a whole nother big leap. And I know that there's been so much learning and different things that have come through that. But we're probably not going to get to that. We're not going to get to that today. So you're going to have to come back.
So I am
officially asking you to come back onto the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast and bless us with your presence again in the near future.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Well, before we go and kind of wrap this up, I always end with one question.
Okay.
See how good Andrew, how many times he's listened. What is a lesson you feel like you are moving through in your life right now?
I think the lesson I'm learning through is to not self-sabotage by having plan B and plan C planned out before I even start. So I think, especially in the bigger risk type of decisions, when you make a decision to go after something, you naturally, I naturally have a plan B and plan C just in case it doesn't work out.
And do you feel like that's harmful?
Yes, 100%. Because I don't think you actually go after it. You almost expect plan B to be okay.
You expect plan A to fail.
To fail, yeah. And it's just the idea that you just need to burn all the boats. So when you go after it, trust that plan B will emerge through chasing after plan A. If it needs to.
I love that. That's really powerful. Yeah,
that's the biggest lesson I got going on right now.
That's awesome. Anything else you want people to know? Any last words of wisdom? Anything you're hoping that people take from this and go and apply to their life?
No, I mean, I don't think that it's my place to tell people how to apply things to life. I think it's just an idea to question things and, you know, make sure you live in a life that if you look ahead 30 years and you kind of know what it's going to look like, does that excite you or does that just feel content? And so if it feels content, just question why.
I love that. Okay. Lastly, just where can people find you if they want to connect with you, if they just want to learn more about you and what you do?
You got to drive to Greenville because I am tired of anything not in person anymore. So as much as in-person things possible, come down to Greenville.
Grab a coffee.
Come grab a coffee. I'd love it.
We love a good coffee chat.
That's right. That's
right. Come to, yeah, who knows what we'll have going on. I love that. So thank you, Andrew, for being here. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and just being willing to openly share some of our story. And I'm really excited to dive into more of that. It's been fun. It's been a pleasure.
You got it.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. We do not take it lightly that you take time out of your day to enjoy and listen and extract some of the wisdom that comes from this podcast and the guests that are on it. Just a couple of things before you go. One, if you're enjoying the podcast, please head on over and give us a review. It helps us to spread the word and make a bigger impact on more people. If there's something in this episode and you instantly thought of somebody that needed to hear it, please feel free to share that episode with a friend, a family member on social media, whatever that happens to be. And lastly, if you are loving being part of this community, make sure you hop on over to the Patreon page and join that community. You're going to get access to bonus content and all kinds of fun things over in the Patreon page. So you can use the link in the show notes to check that out. Until next time, remember the way you show up in the world matters. So stay curious, choose courage over comfort, and whatever path you decide to go down, allow your heart to lead the way.